thank you for joining us. This is Eric Sinrod of Duane Morris in San Francisco, a somewhat foggy day. I'm joined by my colleague in crime, not really, Jonathan Armstrong from our London office. We're here today with our weekly Tech Law 10, where we bring you, hopefully, interesting tidbits of information where technology and the law intersect. And I know Jonathan's been hungry for some cookies lately, so what can you tell us about your appetite there, Jonathan?
Thanks very much, Eric. It's a subject that we have talked about before on Tech Law 10, and it's worth returning to, as just this week, the European Union's Article 29 Working Party issued some letters, firstly with the advertising industry on cookies, and secondly released into the public domain an exchange of letters that it had had with the US Federal Trade Commission. It's interesting for a number of reasons. Those of you who are regular listeners to our podcasts will know that it's fair to say the Article 29 Working Party and I do not exchange holiday cards. But for those of you who don't understand the system, the Article 29 Working Party is effectively a semi-formal grouping of privacy regulators from each of the relevant European countries who get together and discuss matters of common interest. This time around, they were thinking about cookies in light of some new rules that have come in across Europe that we've talked about before on Tech Law 10. So these were the rules that came in May with the new EU directive that called for greater transparency when sites use cookies and effectively move to an opt-in regime so that if you put a cookie on a user's device, then you have to get their consent beforehand. This is obviously a very tough bar to meet, and as a result, the European Advertising Agency proposed something called the ICON scheme, which would be a type of a small icon, a bit like a padlock that used to appear on the old SSL secure sites on the internet, and you would be able to click on that, and you'd find out whether a cookie was being used by that particular advert, for example, and who the data was going to. And we were hopeful, I think, that a modified version of that scheme might be good enough to get consent, the only alternative otherwise being, of course, pop-ups and click-throughs, which most people just would not want at all. I don't think users want that either because it destroys their internet experience. But the letters, unfortunately, are bad news. The Article 29 Working Party say that they aren't very happy with the proposals as they stand, and they also say that they're speaking to the Federal Trade Commission to try and get a common approach between the EU and the US to try and clamp down on cookie use. They say that for a site to legally send cookies, they have to have consent, which has to be, and I quote, freely given, specific and informed. It must also be an indication of the data subject wishes, and they say that consent has to go before a cookie is sent to the user's device. Now, for various reasons, technically that's a nightmare. Obviously, we know that the use of mobile devices is on the increase. iPads, of course, exist and didn't exist at all when the rules were originally contemplated. And cookies can be relevant to the proliferation of devices because they enable the server to set the information in an appropriate manner for the device. They also potentially help, for example, the blind, so that a cookie exchange between the device and the server can enable software to read the page rather than it just be presented on the screen, which obviously is of no use to those who are blind or partially sighted. So I know that we talked about these proposals before. I think they haven't really moved with the times, and I think from a personal point of view, the Article 29 Working Party approach is disappointing. We know there's going to be another meeting in a couple of weeks' time with the bodies representing the ad agencies, and we may know a bit more then. But it seems to me that the European regulators are perhaps not being as in tune as they might be with the way in which the internet works. I mean, what do you think, Eric? You've got a view on that.
Well, I mean, I think you've summarized it very well, and you know, this is an important issue. I mean, here in the United States, at least, you know, my understanding is that you know the FTC is you know leaving this up pretty much for industry to sort out and figure out, and it appears from what you describe that there's a more directed and focused you know approach in dealing with this over there on your side of the pond.
Yes, I think that is right, and I think that the consumer groups certainly some of them seem to have got very worried about cookies and perhaps have overthought their potential for misuse. I mean, it seems to me that cookies do power the internet. And I know we've said this before, but when I first started on the internet, I maybe had to pay £15 a month just to receive emails without any internet access. And obviously, I can do a lot more for free now than I ever could before, you know, for my £15 a month. So is it part of the balance that we have to strike when we have all these services online that we have more cookies as well to pay for that? I don't.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I teach, you know, courses over here on internet law, and I, you know, I present the topic that, you know, deals with behavioral or targeted advertising to groups, and it really sort of depends. I mean, in terms of what the sentiment is. If I sort of lead the subject off by saying, you know, how do you feel if your movements online are being tracked such that, you know, particular goods and services can be directed to your attention with the hope that, you know, you'll buy them? You know, if I present it that way, you know, the reaction is, ooh, that's creepy. You know, the world's too small a place. I don't like being watched so closely. That's not a good thing. However, if I present the topic in such a way where I say, you know, you're a consumer, you like to purchase, you know, goods and services online. Let's say you go to Amazon and you like to buy books on gardening. Wouldn't you like it as part of your consumer experience the next time you go there that other books will be recommended to you on gardening or particular seeds you might want to buy to plant and grow your tomatoes? And, you know, It makes it a more user-friendly experience. And then the reaction is, oh, that's great. You know, there's so much content out there. I'd like it to be much more focus and direct to my own particular interests. But then I can swing it around again and say, well, let's just say you happen to go online and you bought, you know, gardening books for your mother for Mother's Day, but you frankly can't stand gardening. And now all of a sudden you're getting targeted with you know, gardening products nonstop and you really are not at all interested. And when we're talking about at least about behavioral advertising, and I know this relates somewhat to cookies, you know, I know that you know, the FTC, although it hasn't been, you know, too forceful, you know, there have been some principles that have been enunciated that are hopefully being accepted, and that is there should be transparency so that consumers at least know how they're being tracked in terms of their movements.
Yeah.
And they should have some potential say in that so that if they really don't want to be, you know, targeted for particular products based on their earlier activities, they can opt out. And that's been sort of the common understanding. Now, that the truth of the matter is, I honestly really don't think most people pay that much attention unless they have a, you know, a negative experience really comes home to them in an unexpected way. What do you think of that?
I think you're right. I think perhaps this is one area where the regulators care more than most people do. And it would be a shame if some of the advances that we've got at the internet on the internet were reversed because the financial models didn't work because cookies couldn't be used anymore or their use was restricted.
Yeah.
And what I've done, Eric, for those people who are interested in digging down more, if you go onto the LinkedIn TechLaw 10 group, if you're on LinkedIn, you just go to the top right-hand side of the screen, pull down the box that says Groups, type in TechLaw 10, you'll get to our group that way. Do come and join us. And I've posted against the cookies heading there our alert on this subject, some tips that we think businesses could take in the short term to make sure they're less likely to get caught out. And I've also, that link then goes across to all of the documents that the Article 29 Working Party have put in the public domain, including the exchange of letters with the Federal Trade Commission, if anyone wants to see them.
Very good. Well, I think we're about at our time. So we're wishing that all your cookies contain chocolate chips, And this is Eric Sinrod from the San Francisco office. My email is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. As we've told you before, we're available to be found on Facebook, LinkedIn. You can follow us on Twitter. Jonathan, if you want to finalize this.
Yeah, I'm jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. I'm ArmstrongJP on Twitter. And absolutely, you can find us on LinkedIn. If you just search Tech Law 10 in groups, you'll find us there. Thank you for listening. We look forward to speaking to you again next week. As ever, if you have an idea for a topic, do get in touch with us or post that on the LinkedIn group as well. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.